Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Itihasa Puranani
Itihasa Puranani
Panchamam Vedam Ishvaraha
Panchamam Vedam Ishvaraha
Sarvebhyah Eva Vaktrebhyah
Sarvebhyah Eva Vaktrebhyah
Sasvijye Sarva Darshanaha
Sasvijye Sarva Darshanaha
Itihasa Puranani Panchamam Vedam Ishvaraha Sarvebhyah Eva Vaktrebhyah Sasvijye Sarva Darshanaha Itihasa Histories Puranani, the Puranas, supplementary Vedas, Panchamam, the fifth, Vedam, the Vedic literature, Ishwaraha, the Lord, Sarvebhyaha, all together. Eva. Certainly. Vaktrebhyah. From his mouths. Sasvijye. Created. Sarva. All around. Darshanaha. One who can see all time. It's all around. Well, if you have four faces, you can see all around. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Then he created the fifth Veda, the Puranas and the histories, from all his mouths, since he could see all the past, present, and future. Purport. There are histories of particular countries and nations and of the world, but the Puranas are the histories of the universe, not only in one millennium, but in many kalpas. Brahma has knowledge of those historical facts, and therefore all the Puranas are histories. As originally composed by Brahma, they are part of the Vedas and are called the fifth Veda. Shodya Shuktao Purva Vaktrat Purish Agnishtutavata Aptoryam Atiratraucha Vajapeyam Sagosavam. Translation: all the different varieties of fire sacrifices. Shodashi Ukta Purishi Agnishtoma Aptoryama Atiratra Vajapeya and Gosava became manifested from the eastern mouth of Brahma. Okay, there's no purport in that. Let me do one thing. Let me get a book. Reading from the Tattva Sandarbha. Someone objects, but if the word Veda is defined in such a way as to include the Puranas and the Itihasas also, then, in other words, the Upanishad says that the Itihasa and Purana are part of the Vedas. Then really we're going to have to look for a different Itihasa and Purana, not the ones that everybody's familiar with, because they're not Vedic. Otherwise, what do you mean that the Itihasas and Puranas are separate? Or what do you mean that the Itihasas and Puranas are not different from the Vedas? either you're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to re-identify what we mean by Itihasa and Purana and identify some parts of the Vedas themselves as Itihasa and Purana, or if the Itihasa and Purana that you, that everyone's talking about are supposed to be Vedic, how can you establish that? They're not, you know, how are they actually non-different than the Vedas? They're quite a bit different. They're not the same class of literature. So we answer this. Jiva Goswami answers the comment, the objection. Although it's a fact that the Itihasa and Purana are non-different from the rest of the Vedas, they fit the same definition. They establish, they present the same message, and they are a collection of words that are aparusheya, actually. They don't have a human origin, the Itihasas and the Puranas also. But there's some difference, so there is non-difference in that sense. Still, there's some superficial difference, swara and krama. Krama. The Shruti has to be transmitted from generation to generation without changing one syllable. Every word has to be maintained the same in the same order. And then there's swara. The Shruti, many of the Shrutis, not all of them, are recited with intonation. That's the ancient Vedic language. Whereas the Puranic Sanskrit is not. So there's a difference of language. So, therefore, they're said to be non-different, to be different, even though they're essentially non-different. The Vedas and the Purana Itihasa. The fact that the Itihasa Purana is equally aparusheya, just as the original Vedas are, is implied by the statement of the Madhyandina Shruti, which means the Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad. The Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad belongs to the White Yajurveda. In particular, but there's different recensions, different branches of the White Yajurveda. The Madhyandina school is one, and there's another school. So there's actually existing nowadays two different versions of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad according to these two different shakas. So according to the Madhyandina version, it reads, Evam va are asya mahato bhutasya nikshvasitam etad yad rigvedo yajurveda samavedor tarva angirasa itihasa purana. Oh, this is the breathing, actually the exhalation, outward breathing, of the Supreme Soul, which includes the Rig Veda, Yajurveda, Sama Veda, Atharva, Angirasa, the Itihasa, the Purana, and so on. It's also stated, consequently, following this Shruti idea, the Prabhaskanda of the Skanda Purana, which is supposed to be a Tamasic Purana, says the following. Pura tapaschacharo gram amaranam pita mahaha avirbhutas tato veda shadanga sashadanga parakramaha tatak purana makilam sarva shastra mayam dhruvam Nitya Shabda Mayam Punyam Shatakoti Pravistarat Nirgatam Brahmano Vaktarad Tasya Beda Nibodata. First, the great grandfather of the demigods, of the immortals, performed austerity and then appeared the Vedas along with the Shadangas and the Padakramas. Shadangas are the six Vedic corollary sciences. To understand the Vedas, you should understand these branches of knowledge. I don't remember the exact order of them, but they include Shiksha, which is the science of pronunciation. You have to first of all be able to pronounce, speak the mantras. Vyakaranam, if you want to understand what they mean, you have to understand grammar. And grammar is not enough, you need vocabulary also. So niruktam, the explanation of difficult words. Dictionaries start with Yaskamuni's niruktam, naiguntam, which is an ancient just list of difficult words in the Vedas. Words that the meaning is not obvious. But Yaskamuni took that list and wrote a commentary on it. That's the Nirukta, which we call the original dictionary. But it's really not a complete dictionary. It's a glossary. You know, glossary deals with difficult words. It doesn't try to list all the words. And then Jyotish. You have to understand the right times to perform the different sacrifices, so you need the science of astronomy and astrology. Kalpa is the understanding of how to perform the different details of the sacrifice, the proper rituals. That's five. What's the sixth? Kalpa Vikaranam Shiksha Jyotish. Maybe I didn't count them on my fingers right. Shiksha Vyakaranam Nirukta. Yeah, I didn't. Jyotir Kalpa. I must have mentioned the other one too. There are six of them. Okay. The Padakramas. Maybe he mentions in his translation here. Yeah. Anyway. The Padakramas are an interesting phenomenon. The Vedas have to be memorized. And usually it's small children who start their process of memorizing. As a mnemonic device, the same mantras are practiced backwards and forwards, literally. There are permutated recitations, word by word. Instead of saying a sentence A, B, C, D, these four words, you say A, B, B, C, C, D, D, E. That's one permutation. And there's four or five different more complicated permutations. And they actually practice memorizing all the mantras backwards, forwards, and inside out this way. It's called Padakrama. Various sequences of the words. It's not that sages actually composed them, they're just sort of formulas. They came up with the formulas for the Padakramas. Now I have lost the page. Yeah. Okay, so the Padakramas, what else? Okay. Then, Tata Purana Makilam. After that, became manifested all the Purana. Sarva Shastra Mayam, which includes within it all the scriptures. Dhruvam, which is very fixed, very definite, very conclusive. Nityam, Shabda Mayam, and it's not actually some human composition. It's also, like the Vedas, aparusheya. It's composed of eternal sound. Punyam, all auspicious, shatakoti pravistaram. The original extent of the Puranas, doesn't say Purana and Itihasa, just the Purana here, is shatakoti, 100 times 10 million. In other words, 1 billion shlokas is the original size of the Puranas. Nirgatam Brahmano Vaktrat came out of Brahma's mouth, or as we more specifically hear, out of all four of his mouths. Tasya Beda Nibodhita. And now, whoever's talking to whom, please hear from me about their divisions. And he goes on, Brahmam Puranam Amalam. The first Purana is the Brahma Purana, which is therefore also sometimes called the Adi Purana.
First on the list. Or maybe it was actually manifested first. Okay, now, what's this count of 1 billion? Well, that's the how the Puranas are known on Brahmaloka. They're 1 billion verses long. And it's also said in the third canto, Rik Yajuk Samatarvanam Vedan Purvaribi Mukai.
Oh. That's says verse 39. It's actually in our count, verse 37.
Of this chapter, you just quoted, Yuga Goswami just quoted it.
Prabhupada's translation. Beginning from the front face of the mouth, gradually the four Vedas, Rig, Yajur, Sama, and Atharva became manifested.
And two verses later, today's verse, Itihasa Puranani, Panchanam Vedam Ishvaraha, Sarvebhya Eva Vaktarebhya, Sasvijes Sarva Darshanaha.
Notice that they're called the fifth Veda here. So Jiva Goswami extracts from that the idea that here the Bhagavatam is directly calling the Puranas the Veda. Purana and Itihasa. Here it's the Itihasa and Purana are both being described in this verse 39. Elsewhere it's said, this following verse is not identified where it comes from. Puranam Panchamo Veda, Itihasa Puranam Cha Panchamo Veda Uchite. Two different quotes. The Purana is the fifth Veda. And another statement, the Itihasa and the Purana are the fifth Veda. Two different statements. And another statement, Vedan Adhyapaya Maasa Mahabharata Panchamo. Vyasadeva taught his disciples the Vedas with the fifth one of the Vedas, the Mahabharata. So their third statement identifies the Mahabharata as the fifth Veda. So the Veda and the Itihasa, Vedas, the Veda Itihasa, the Itihasa Purana would not be called the fifth Veda if they didn't belong to the same category. And especially because it's just a logical principle that when you're counting things, you have to count things that somehow belong to the same category. that makes sense. Things are in a group. There's some common feature that makes them belong to the group that you can count them by. At least they have to be something, all physical objects or something. I can have a group of, a flashlight, a rotten apple, a piece of paper. That could be a group of three things, but at least they're all physical things. They belong to some category together. So he's saying that the Puranas and Itihasas couldn't be counted as the fifth Veda, and the name of the category is specified, Veda category. So they must, Puranas and Itihasas must actually share the quality of being a Veda to be able to be counted together as the fifth Veda. Simple as that. If I say, give me the fifth apple, I mean give me an apple, not a banana. It's also stated in the Bhavishya Purana. Karshnam Puranam Vedam Yanma Bahartam Smitam. The Karshna, the Purana belonging to Krishna, is the fifth Veda. There's two ways to understand that. There's a lot about Krishna in the Mahabharata, but it's also written by Krishna Dvaipayana. Therefore it's called the Karshna Purana, named after the author. In the Chandogya Upanishad, which also has two versions, because there's sub-branches of the Chandogya Samhita of the Samaveda. So those who belong to the Kautumiya branch of the Chandogya Samaveda, they have their version of the Chandogya Upanishad, where it says, Rigvedam Bhagavo Dhyemi Yajurvedam Samavedam Atarvanach Chaturtam Itihasam Puranam Panchamam
Veda Nam Vedam. This is some Vedic disciple talking to his guru. I've studied, sir, already. He's coming to a new guru and you know, giving his resume. I've studied the Rig Veda, my lord, and the Yajur Veda, the Sama Veda, the Atharvana, and that's the fourth one, the Atharva Veda, and the fifth of all the Vedas, Vedanam Panchamam Vedam, is the Vyasana Purana. I think this is Shweta Ketu talking to his father when he came home from school, and his father saw that he was still a stupid boy after going to school for 15 years. Why? Because he didn't learn about the absolute truth. He's proudly announcing to his father all the things he studied, but his father was not very impressed. Udalaka. So therefore, this is very... there's no conflict with the idea of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad that the Itihas and Purana are included with the Vedas in the breath of the Supreme. How, more specifically, they're the fifth Veda is further elaborated in the Vayu Purana in the statement of Sutta Goswami. Itihasa Purananam Vaktanam Samyageva Hi Mam Chaiva Patijagraha Bhagavan Ishwarat Prabhu Eka Asid Yajur Vedas Tam Chaturda Vyakalpayat Chatur Hotram Abhutasmin Tena Yajya Makalpayat. So Vyasadev picked me as the appropriate speaker, the Supreme Lord Vyasadeva chose me as the speaker of the Itihasa and Puranas. First of all, there was one Veda,
the Yajur Veda,
and he split it up into four, Vyasadeva. Did I read this part? Yeah. Then the offices of the four priests, or the four kinds of sacrifice, manifested in that division of four Vedas. Tena Yajna Makalpayat, and in that way the Vedic sacrifice was organized, reorganized, by Vyasadeva at the end of Dwarpa Yuga. Atar Advar Yavam Yajubis Tu Vigbir Hotram Tataiva Cha Audgatram Samabis Chaiva Brahmatvam Chapyatarva Bihi. So these four kinds of mantras. From the Yajur mantras, the business of the Advaryu priests was manifested. By the Rig mantras, the work of the Hotri priests, the office of the Samaveda priests, the Udgatas, from the Sama mantras, and the business of the Brahma priest
is manifested by the Atharva mantras.
Akhyanai Shap Yupakhyanai Gata Bir Dvija Sattamaha Purana Samhitas Chakre Puranarta Visharadaha. Then Vyasadeva, who is very steeped in understanding of the meanings of the Puranas, created the Purana Samhita, the collection of the Puranas,
which is originally the one Purana of 1 billion verses.
And he composed it from stories, akhyanas, upakhyana, incidental stories, small stories, gatadi, songs, yachishnama, to yajurveda, iti shastvarta nirnayaha.
And whatever was left over after that is considered yajurveda. Yajurveda was the first. And then whatever miscellaneous is left over after dividing everything up, that's also Yajurveda left over.
Iti Shastra Arta Nirna. This is the explanation of the meaning of the Shastras.
And there is the Brahma Yajna. Among the five Mahayagas, a householder has to perform every day. He should also placate the rishis, by reciting something from the Vedas every day. And there's the formula for that.
Yad Brahma Nitihasa Puranani. One should recite not only the Vedas, but also the Brahmanas and the Itihasas of the Puranas.
So the Vedic recitation that's part of the Pancha Mahayagas includes recitation of Itihasas and Puranas. This would not make sense if the Puranas and Itihasas were not also Vedic. Lord Matsya, in the Matsya Purana states, Kalena grahanam matva puranasya dvijotama vyasa rupam aham kritva samharam hayami, it doesn't make sense. The word is wrong here. Yuge. When I see, the Supreme Lord sees, this is Matsya, Lord Matsya talking, O best of Brahmanas, that the Puranas are not being studied by people, then I take the form of Vyasadeva, one in every age, and I collect the Puranas again. So this means, according to Jiva Goswami, the Puranas existed before Vyasadeva compiled them. It's just that Sankalayani, he's thinking, let me organize them or collect them together so that they can be easily understood. In the same Matsya Purana, it immediately says, Chatur Laksha Pramanena Dwarpare Sada Tadashta Dashada Kritva Purloke Smin Prabhashiyate Adyapyamartya Loke Tu Shatakoti Pavistaram Tardarto Tra Chatur Laksha Sankshepena Niveshataha. In each Dwarpa Yuga, Matsya is speaking, I divide up the Puranas into 14 books, totaling 400,000 shlokas only, on the earth. But even nowadays, in the world of the demigods, it's still there in 1 billion verses long form. The purport of that 1 billion Purana is abbreviated, is condensed, and presented in brief form in the shorter version of 4 lakhs. So it's similarly shown how the Itihasa and Purana are considered along with the Vedas. They're in the same category. This is also shown in the Shiva Purana, another Tamasic Purana, in the Vayavya Samhita of the Shiva Purana. Samshipya chaturo vedam chaturda vyabhajat prabhu vyasta vedataya kyato Veda Vyasa Iti Smitaha. So, Sankshipta means abbreviating or condensing the 4 Vedas and dividing them up into 4, because not all the Vedic mantras are manifested in the earth in Kali Yuga. So Vyasadeva actually condensed them. You know, he just abbreviated or chose selected Shruti mantras to preserve and then divided them up into 4 books. Vyasta Vedataya Kyato, because he rearranged the Vedas, therefore he's called as Vyasta, he's called Veda Vyasa, the editor of the Vedas, or rearranger. And then the next verse says in the Shiva Purana, Puranam api samshiptam chaturlaksha pramanataha adyapyamarta loke tu shatakoti mavistram. So Vyasadeva, right after rearranging the Vedas, he also abbreviated the Puranas.
the two jobs went together, one after another. So this way, it's proven that the Itihasas and Puranas are Vedic. And don't be concerned that suttas, non-brahmanas, fallen people, and others, sutta and others, are the adhikars of the Puranas. That's just the same as everybody in the world being adhikar for Harinam. It's on the same level. It highlights the sanctity and the purifying power of the Shastra rather than denigrate it, that low-class people can recite it. As stated about Harinam in an unidentified source, Marura Maruram Etan Mangalam Mangalanam Sakala Nigama Valli Satpalam Chitswarupam Sakvidapi Parigitam Shuddhaya Helaya Va Riguvara Naramatram Tarayet Krishna Nama. The name of Krishna is the sweetest of the sweet, is the most auspicious of all auspicious things. It is the transcendental fruit of the creeper of all the Vedas. Its identity is purely spiritual. If it's recited, Harinam, sung, even once, whether in faith or even neglectfully, oh, best of the Brigus, it will deliver any human being, not a matra. So every human being is adhikar, adhikari. For Harinam, every human being is adhikar for the adhikari, for the Itihasas and the Puranas. So Jiva Goswami is giving his argument to establish the Itihasas and Puranas are Vedic. There's no need to reject them as being the Itihasas and Puranas that are mentioned in the Vedas. They're Vedic enough to fit the bill. They're aparusheya, they're spoken, they're eternal, they're originating from the Supreme Lord himself. The Supreme Lord Matsya is acknowledging this on his own behalf and identifying Vyasadeva as his own incarnation. So Jiva Goswami is giving adequate argument to prove this. Let the Arya Samaja and others complain, but we'll insist that the Puranas and Itihasa in general are perfectly Vedic authority. Mundane scholars also, although they may be polite about it, but behind our backs they're snickering at us that we call ourselves Vedic. We should be a little careful about throwing the term around. Yeah. We call everything Vedic. Vedic ice cream and this and that. But, the mundane scholars consider Vedic a different thing. Vedic is what they did before 1000 BC. Anything after that is not Vedic anymore. So we should be a little sensitive about how other people use the word. And realize they may not accept or understand our use of the word. But the bottom line is the Itihasa and Purana are Vedic, and the Bhavatam is Nigama Kalpa Todor Galitam Palam, the mature, ripened fruit of the desire tree of the Vedas. That's the whole point that Jiva Goswami is aiming at by all this elaborate argument and quoting from Shastra. Okay, are there any questions or comments?
Yes, so scholars divide what is Vedic and what is non-Vedic according to the language.
Yes, I mean, they first of all, they try to group them according to dates, but the only way they can give dates is according to the language. According to the grammar, the vocabulary, they identify the age by that. They have no other way to guess the ages. And then they assign different categories.
So you mentioned one organization called Samaj.
Arya Samaj.
Yeah. Who else basically objects that
Vedas,
that Puranas and
Itihasas
have
fulfilled? Well, all the Indologists.
Oh.
You know, they the last thing you can do
to try to understand what the scripture means is to accept what the scripture says. That's not critical scholarship, to accept anything on scriptural authority. Now we have to, you know, we can't ask the butterfly who he is. We have to kill him and stick a pin through him, and, you know, and then dissect him.
Since it means only, how you say, materialist object that plants and grasses, and none of the animal, whatever. Mayavadis, they don't object?
Yes, Mayavadis accept. That is the great accomplishment of Shankaracharya, that he reestablished the authority of the Puranas, of the Vedas, which were rejected by the Buddhists and the Jains, but especially the Buddhists. They did a good job at destroying the authority of the Vedas. So Shankara reinstated the Vedic authority, which includes the Itihasa, the Upanishads, and also the Puranas. According to Shankara, his idea for scriptural authority is that there are three prasthanas, three primary sources of evidence. That's the Upanishads, the Vedanta Sutra, Vyasadeva's commentary on the Upanishads, and third is the Bhagavad Gita. So, by accepting Bhagavad Gita, he's accepting Mahabharata, and accepting the whole class of Puranic literature. And he quotes. Shankara will quote from Puranas and Itihas as authoritative.
So what is this Samaj? Organization?
Yeah, but I think it was founded in the 19th century only 150 years ago by Swami Dayananda Saraswati, who tried to establish a Vedic movement. And he was trying to make a reaction against popular Hinduism, and did that by rejecting the authority of everything but the Vedas themselves. I don't know what their arguments are, but they're just into studying the Vedas and doing Vedic sacrifices. And be careful, you may like to see a translation of some of the Vedas, but most of them are done by his disciples. Yeah, the translations of the four Vedas you can find in Ras Bihari Lal's are done by members of the Arya Samaj. So they have their agenda, their slant on it that's going to show up in their translation. You want to study the Vedas from somebody who doesn't accept the authority of the Puranas? But I don't know if we want to do that. Our first authority is Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you reject Srimad Bhagavatam, we don't want to hear from you. So we'll have to find some other translations. Better to read a translation of a gross materialist, atheist, honest atheist, than to read the translations done by this Arya Samaj. Better, someone dishonestly who doesn't believe any Shastra, than selectively rejects the Bhagavatam.
Which I've read in 1999, started to translate the Rig Veda.
Yeah.
He translated for maybe 7 months, and then he dropped, saying that no Jews.
No Jews.
He was replacing the whole, whenever it's mentioned Indra, he was saying that it's Krishna, and giving some small explanations. It's another name of Indra, is another name of Krishna.
Yes.
But he was, I would say, making the devotion, but still eventually after 7 months he said, but I will continue Gopal Champa, and I will finish my Gopal Champa.
Does this manuscript exist?
Wow, he was doing it in his computer, putting this to Shiva or to Shiva, I don't know. But he did for 7 months, and then I just was coming to his house in room in MBT and
recently? I mean, recent years?
I was
99.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. That's only 4 years,
right? 7 months. Whatever name of the demigod or whatever, he was...
Gore, don't put that in your mouth. Rig Veda is not easy to read. Language is very difficult.
Yeah.
You need to study the grammar separately. You need to look words up because the meanings are different.
He showed me that he went to Delhi, did the grammar book by McDonald and also some other.
Yes.
Studied, and then was,
well, noble attempt.
Okay.
I mean, we could someday have someone study the Rig Veda. I studied a little bit, but there isn't much juice. You can give a devotional interpretation, but it's just not directly there. You have to dig deep and squeeze hard to find any juice. Yes. He didn't say that. I commented that. Oh. Prabhupada says it somewhere. Oh. See, there's beside that, there is another Adi Purana, an Upa Purana called the Adi Purana. Beside that, there's so there's two Adi Puranas. One is the Brahma Purana, the other one is a separate Upa Purana. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. There's a few quotes. There's a few quotes in the Adi Purana that we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Can't tell because I don't think any of those quotes show up in the Brahma Purana that we have. So, but I don't have any copy of the other Adi Purana, so I can't identify it. I don't think we've identified any of those quotes from Adi Purana.
Sometimes the Vraha
Purana
is called the Adi
Vraha Purana. Which one?
The Vraha
Purana. Vraha Purana is called that?
Sometimes it's called the Adi Vraha Purana.
Where?
I seem to remember seeing that sometimes.
I don't remember that. Here we have Brahma Purana be called Adi Vraha. I'm sorry, not here. Yeah. Prabhupada said it. I don't know about Vraha being the first.
No. Sometimes the Vraha Purana is also called the Adi Vraha Purana.
Oh, Adi Vraha. That may be an Upa Purana. That may be a different Purana.
And Purana.
Yeah. Gore, get your feet off of there. Sometimes you hear about Mahavraha Purana. So it gets a little complicated. Research has to be done whether the Mahavraha or the Mahavishnu Purana are different Puranas. Sometimes you have that. You have the original Purana, and you have some Upa Purana called the Maha of the same thing.
Right.
And it may not even be bigger. You know, or maybe it is bigger, but it's an Upa Purana. And in other cases, it's just another way of calling the same Purana. That has to be carefully sorted out. Even the references we get sometimes in the Sandarbhas, we haven't sorted them all out yet. Yes. Yes. 18 major Upa Puranas. Then there's supposed to be a second group of Upa Puranas. But actually, there exist at least 85 Upa Puranas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Some of them. Thing is, which ones are actually original and authored by Vyasa and spoken by Sutta, actually spoken by Sutta, and not just falsely ascribed to him? Is sometimes hard to say. There are also another class of minor Puranas, which are called Stala Puranas, local Puranas, they glorify different holy places. Some of those may be authentic, but many of those were composed later on, and people are still writing Puranas. Yes, huh? So some of the Puranas are not really authentic in the sense of going being ancient. The recent compositions and people just call them Puranas, and they claim that they write in the book that Sutta Goswami is speaking, but it's not true. I mean, the book was written 200 years ago. So how did Sutta speak it 5,000 years ago? Seriously? Usually, why are they writing Puranas? Because if you call something Purana, everyone will think it's important. Right?
Well,
you can write Vishaka Purana. And, Rabbit Purana.
So they, the main 18 Upa Puranas, are they kind of accepted as the real...
Well, the names are listed of them in a few of the... of the Mahapuranas. So theoretically they're accepted, but which are the actual manuscripts of those 18, that can be controversial. There's controversy over the Bhagavatam. among some, you know, that Jiva Goswami and others had to deal with, Baladeva Vibhushan, that some claim that the Devi Bhagavat is the real Bhagavatam. You know, so you have the list, but which of the actual books on the list, you know, you can have a disagreement about that. Meaning, you know, which are the books that actually correspond to those titles, which manuscripts are the real ones.
Hari Vamsa is one of the main,
you think? No, Hari Vamsa is one of the major Upapuranas.
Yeah, one of the 18 major Upapuranas, or is it one of the subsequent
Upapuranas? No, it's very major.
100% major.
That's pretty
widely accepted. Because Hari Vamsa is considered, by scholars, considered very old. Older than most of the other Puranas. Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I guess it's
accepted because it's, you know, yeah. Old. Okay. Thank you. All glory, Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.